over about me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time, the debut of the Triple FL podcast. Your host, as always, Mr. Tony Ciccone here for you. It is football season, no better time of the year, and so excited to be here chatting about the games of today and how we take a look at how some of the players remind us of some of the greats from the past. People, it was a fantastic first week, but to me a lot of things happened just as we thought they would, not a lot of surprises, so can't wait to get in some of those games. For those interested parties, we will be coming with the picks for the week. Really excited to go on record with the picks that I've got to give you a hand and some picks not to make. I think knowing what picks not to make is just as, if not more important than knowing the picks to make. So very excited to share that with you. Look, let's quickly start with last week's games. Some highlights to stand out to bring about. The Seattle Seahawks have got to be the favorite by far to win the Super Bowl again. We haven't seen a complete team like this since, you know, the Patriots, the early Tom Brady days, just so complete across the board, the big names that they used to have. They went through just the rotation of greats at running back up to Corey Dillon, the defenses that they had with Harrison. They just had so many pieces, and they were just so complete across the board. That is what Seattle is. And their domination of Green Bay just goes to show. I know it's early, and I know Green Bay is going to get better, but you know what? Seattle's going to get better. Russell Wilson's going to get better. That entire defense is going to get better. So look for them to repeat. And I brought it up on the Twitter page. Do follow us on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, Triple FL. And I've brought up the comparison of the Dallas Cowboys. This is the closest team we've seen to the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. It's the closest thing. I mean, think about running back. Emmitt Smith, Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, that's about right. Different style, slightly different, but do a lot of the same things. Run between the tackles, can break outside with some speed, but not that lightning speed, but fast enough. Look, Russell Wilson, when you think about Troy Aikman, yeah, he'd throw some deep balls up to the big boys, Michael Irvin and Harper. But his intermediate things were a thing of beauty. So I see a lot of Russell Wilson and Troy Aikman. The defense, Roy Williams from the Cowboys. I mean, think about those DBs there in Seattle. It's just across the board, very similar to it. I mean, when you've got Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, I mean, big hitters. So just so reminiscent. And then the defensive line, we got Michael Bennett. I mean, you talk about some of those defensive linemen for the Dallas Cowboys. Just it's to me, it's haunting to see such a like team. So expect them to do what those Cowboys of the 90s teams did. I haven't heard the comparison too much, but and then you talk about Richard Sherman, a cornerback. Don't forget those Cowboys teams did for a minute have Deion Sanders. So that shutdown corner. So that's going to be so exciting to watch now. How about the shootout? New Orleans and Atlanta. Those receivers, Julio Jones and Roddy White. For Atlanta, they're just so tough to stop. And, of course, New Orleans, Drew Brees just continues to do that with Graham, Colston, even though he did have that unfortunate fumble late in that game. He's still doing his thing. Just so explosive. I mean, anytime you get a chance to watch them, you do. And that New Orleans team, they'll figure in a bit later when we talk a bit about one of the picks to definitely make for this upcoming year. Some other highlights. The Jackson-Philadelphia game. It's that Philly team, down 17, comes back just so explosive. LeSean McCoy in that Eagles team reminds me a bit of the old Wilbert Montgomery. Wilbur Montgomery back in the late 70s, early 80s, just a fantastic running back. Do, when you have a chance, check the YouTube on him because he was really something to see. But they've got such a squad. They're so explosive. Cincy Baltimore. You know, since he ended up beating Baltimore 23-16, at the time of the recording here, Baltimore's already come back, rebounded, and taken it to Pittsburgh, which just goes to show you one thing. How not good are the Pittsburgh Steelers to get blown out pretty much by about 20 to Baltimore, and then Baltimore's beat by Cincinnati? You know, Cincinnati's a team, definitely think this year going to take that next step. Haven't been able to win a playoff game, but with AJ Green, I think he's ready to step his game up. Andy Dalton looks like he's finally ready to take that next step, making more decisions. It's going to be interesting to see if he's able to do more in the red zone. We've seen him struggle, whether it be him not wanting to take the chances, but just Cincinnati not able to turn trips inside the red zone into touchdowns. So that's going to be the space we're going to need to watch for Cincinnati. Speaking on Baltimore, now we're not going to dwell on the issue with Mr. Ray Rice. We're not going to dwell at all there. We are going to talk about the guys on the field. And Justin Forsett, and it hasn't been spoken about too very much, is that this Justin Forsett has taken his opportunity. Obviously, we know about Pierce and what he's been able to do in his starting role. But Justin Forsett's coming in that backup role, giving them a change of pace, and just looks so shifty. And on the Facebook Twitter page, I did equate him to Warrick Dunn. He just reminds me a lot of him. And Forsett's had to bounce around a little bit, was with Seattle previously, and I believe another team. So just good on him for being ready for the opportunity. And that's, look, we learned that from Little League, high school to, you know, Pop Warner to high school. You've just got to be ready for your opportunity when your time comes, and he's done just that. So that's a real credit to them. Buffalo, Chicago. I mean, I don't want to get on the bandwagon of knocking Jay Cutler. Not going to do that. I wish the best for him. But he's made some really tough decisions at some bad times. And Buffalo was able to eke out the 23-20 overtime win. And Buffalo's a team, a stout defense. EJ Manuel coming along doing the right thing. CJ Spiller. So they're a team that's got some young tools, and you kind of want to stay away from going against them. You know, this week they've got Miami. You don't know what Miami's going to do away from home. It is September. They're so potent at home in September. But when they go on the road up to Baltimore, you're listening to a guy who's heard many a Buffalo-Miami matchup going all the way back to Vince Ferragamo, Joe Cribbs for the Bills, Bob Greasy, David Woodley for the Dolphins, Mark Duber-Clayton. I mean, forget about it. Thurman Thomas. So you're talking to a guy who, you know, I think they talked about the 101st, over 100 meetings between these two teams, and they've been really great matchups. So not a matchup you really want to go to for this week. But anyway, last week also Washington, Houston. I mean, there's going to be a time, and you know the expression, the sooner the better? I think it might be time already to go with Kirk Cousins. The athleticism, so much of what RG3 brought to the game and the position of quarterback, he doesn't have it anymore with that injury. He's a different new player. I'll equate it this way. If you play wide receiver and you run a 4-4, that's pretty good. 4-5, pretty good as well. Once you get to 4-6, 4-7, 4-8, you're pretty much a slow running wide receiver, and you're probably not going to be able to break free. That's the situation here with RG3. That first year with his athleticism, he was able to make so many plays. But from a raw athleticism standpoint, he's not the same player. So the plays he was able to make that first year, he's not going to be able to make them. People are wondering, oh, what's wrong, this, that, the other. He is a brand new player playing with lesser skills. Granted, the arm strength is going to be different, but you kind of use your legs when you throw as well. And when the legs aren't what they used to be, then the arm is not going to be what it's used to be. So Kirk Cousins is a guy so serviceable to the point where he needs a chance, because the Redskins are not going to do anything this year with RG3. And listen, you're listening to a guy who's torn an ACL, and it takes time to rehab. I think you should take a complete year off, to 2 years. If it's your legacy, it's your career, best to have the body the best it can be. And it sounds crazy, take 2 years off of an athlete's life. Well, look, a point guard in basketball, you're going to be able to be around a little while. A quarterback in the NFL, look, if you do the right things, you're going to be able to be around for a while. You talk about a guy like a Rich Gannon. I look at RG3 to be able to have the type of career and late career renaissance that Rich Gannon had. But if he continues to get himself pummeled with that leg trying to do things he used to be able to do, it's not going to happen. And the Redskins are not going to be a good team. So the next game, Tennessee, Kansas City. The biggest note I have on this is, my goodness, every player seemed to be just a recent acquisition from a different team. Fasano, Miami. McCluster, flip-flop. Had been with KC for so long, now with Tennessee. KC also, I mean, Baltimore, Bernard Pollard, used to be defensive back, now with Tennessee. Leon Washington, the kicker, suck-up. I mean, it just goes on and on, the list of players moving around there. And then the demise of the Chiefs fell to Tennessee. Alex Smith not looking good at all. So this is the point where, of course, he was able to have a great career with San Francisco. Harbaugh had him under him. He was able to tutor him. Then he came to Kansas City for that first year. Listen, when something's new, it's going to take a beat for the defense to catch up. And in Kansas City, Alex Smith was new. And when you're new like that, along with having the new coach, Andy Reid, you're going to fool some people. But by year two, the defenses know what you're trying to do, and they're able to catch up. So I do not look for a lot of good things at KC. You'll hear that up in the picks for this week. New England, Miami, that stat on Miami at home in September, and you know New England just fell victim to that. I got another note on New England, though. There's an old Happy Days term with TV series when you, quote-unquote, jump the shark. That's when you kind of pass your prime and you do fun things to try to keep the interest of people. But the truth is you're past your prime and you're on your decline. And that is the New England Patriots. And the people who say, oh, I still believe in the Patriots. Look, there is a time when that happens. You talk about the great teams, the Dallas Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, the Jim Kellys. There is a time when that's it. You've gotten all you can out of that team. And in terms of being a great team and a contender in the AFC, I do not see it happening for New England this year. They're, of course, going to be competitive, winning record. But, Tom Brady is in his late 30s. I mean, he's not the golden boy little kid who talked about his use of the internet, okay? He's a mature man, and his skills are going to climb. Father Time is undefeated, as our friends on PTI like to allude to. So I look for New England not to have the success. Obviously, this week going against an Adrian Peterson-less Vikings team, I do expect them to get a victory there on the road. Carolina, Tampa Bay just does not have any potency whatsoever on offense. You know, they tried to go with Josh Freeman recently, thinking he'd be the guy. And didn't we all think about Doug Williams? Could this guy be the next Doug Williams in Tampa Bay, leading them as Doug Williams did to the NFC Championship game against the Rams way back, I think 79 or 80. Boy, he was something. And of course, he did get his Super Bowl ring with the Washington Redskins. What such a great story about Doug Williams. But Tampa Bay has not been able to settle in on a quarterback there. And I think they got Josh McCown now. It's just not going to work in terms of translating into a winning team. Their defense, they fight hard. They play hard, but weren't able to get the victory. Of course, going against a team without Cam Newton, Carolina, still were not able to get the victory. Indianapolis and Denver, Peyton Manning, is that personal or what? Is that personal or what? You're going against the guy that you got cut for, got dumped for, and Andrew Luck. There was no way Peyton Manning in Denver was going to allow that game to go any other way. Giants-Detroit. Let me tell you, one of my teams that is going to be, I look at them to get to if not the NFC, at least the second round of the playoffs. It's the Detroit Lions. There's a time when a young team, they step up, they grow up. In the AFC, I talked about the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're there. In the NFC, I look at the Detroit Lions. They are there. Calvin Johnson is there. Matthew Stafford is there now. They know the mistakes they've made in the past, what they're going to need to do going forward. They've got the change of pace running backs. I mean, when you think about the New York Giants, they had the 1-2 punch of Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, that's the quick and explosive Ahmad Bradshaw, the grounded, the power of a Brandon Jacobs. You look at Detroit now, they got Jacoby Bell, and they've got Reggie Bush. I mean, I look at that 1-2 punch. That is what you need. That is the formula. Go through the history of the NFL now. You got to have that 1-2 punch at running back. So they have that. They have a quarterback that's grown up. The defense is solid enough. We just hope everybody plays the right way there on that defensive line in Detroit. I think they will. They're a fantastic group. And the Giants, another team that I think has jumped the shark. Eli Manning is not getting better. He's getting worse. They've thrown in a new offense. He has not taken to it yet. So it's going to be interesting to see that demise. I look at it continue. Every year, as they say, this time of year, they start calling for the head of Tom Coughlin. They say, that's it. He's past his prime. Hey, two Super Bowl wins, wouldn't be a shame to walk away now after this season, but he is a competitor. He wants to turn this around, and they're not a team to write off just yet, not with that coach and that quarterback. San Diego, Arizona. Look, Arizona has got a fantastic defense. If you got a fantasy football receiver, as I did going last week with Keenan Allen, it's tough to play them against that Arizona defensive backfield. I mean, Peterson is one of the best ever, and your receivers are going to struggle a bit. So with that defense, Carson Palmer, he's going to do enough. They're a team I think will have a winning record, good enough for that. And San Diego, everybody's high on San Diego this year, thinking they're going to pull some good things. That's true. Rivers is great. Gates is great. They got some talented receivers, decent defense. So I do look for them to be competitive. Don't see them as the great team that other pundits are referring to them as, but do see them being reputable. So that was a good matchup on that last opening Monday night. Minnesota, St. Louis. I mean, with Minnesota, they're just so strong. They're Cordell Patterson. I mean, wearing 84, does he or does he not remind people of Randy Moss? That speed, that long stride, that explosiveness, probably a bit more fast twitch than Randy Moss was, but just so explosive, great hands, can go up and get the long ball. I mean, they've got him some of those times on those end-around reverses. He was looking like Randy Moss, just his gait, just, you know, sprinting past players. So it was really fun to watch him. For the Rams, that injury to Sam Bradford, I mean, he's a number one pick for them. They were expecting big things, and you know, he was injured in college, and there's just injury prone is a term that I didn't create. It exists, and he's just a bit injury prone, a bunch injury prone. So I think everybody's looking that they're gonna have to close the books. Look at the Rams just have an awful season and be near the top of the draft order again. A lot of talented quarterbacks at college now. So I look for them to get one of those top picks, get a quarterback, and move on from there. And then Minnesota, obviously they've had a tough break there with Peterson for this upcoming week. Won't go into that too much, but someone's going to need to step up for them going forward. Now, this is the debut episode of the Triple FL podcast. So just a couple quick notes about what it is. As I said, a chance for us to chat about the current NFL, talk about games, talk about some picks for the upcoming games. We'd spend some time on fantasy football because you are listening to one of the pioneers. Not like the guys in the 60s. Did see that little special with ESPN about 1962. This guy wasn't alive then, but they were running fantasy football back then. But of course, when it became a mainstay in the early 90s, so fantasy football, a big part of that, and the numbers show you guys are loving it, and so am I. Limited to one league now. Just want to focus on one just to keep my life in order. But we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to make some picks for you. I'm going to tell you which games to pick, which ones to stay away. So really just a collection of a bunch of different things. Something I do want you all to do is check us out on Twitter and check us out on Facebook, Triple FL. And what I want you to do is we love our former players. If you have a chance to have a picture taken with or see them somewhere, tweet about it with the hashtag #TheTripleFL. #TheTripleFL. All one word, and let us know. We are dying to see what these former players are up to, where you're seeing them. Maybe it's at the golf course, maybe it's at a restaurant. Obviously, don't get up there to bother them, but these guys who meant so much to the league, they'd like to know that they are still appreciated for their efforts, for their talents, because they're a group that's far too soon forgotten. So bring them to light. This, of course, is all culminating with the debut season of the Triple FL. People, we are taking fantasy football year-round using the greats of the past, the statistics of the past. I won't want to go into it too much. The game is all laid out. The website is being developed as we speak. It is going to blow your mind. It's going to be a chance to connect older generations, younger generations, to have a look at those greats of the past and never forget, while still providing some services, some workshops for them and others to benefit themselves as people. So more on that later. Right now, let's focus on the games, and it's time to make some picks for you so you can make some picks and be as successful as you can. Now, of course, for those who don't know, I'm around the world. I'm in Sydney, Australia, and over here, gambling is completely legal. Yes, completely legal. Every other street corner has a betting parlor. And it's interesting. It's not the issue. I think maybe the forbidden nature of gambling in the U.S. kind of adds to its allure. Of course, those go to Vegas and bet. But the neighborhood bookie, you're able to just make the picks and then pay up at the end of the week, as we know. But it's different when you've got to put the money up front first, which you do here in Australia. That's of course, it's all sanctioned by the government and run through them. So you've got to pay the money first for your wager. Then, of course, if you lose the bet, the money's gone. You win the bet, you get your money back plus any winnings on the odds. So just an interesting take. The legalization, I mean, they're talking right now about, obviously, Colorado legalization of marijuana, different things of that nature. You won't spend too much time on it, but just from a guy who grew up in the States and knowing the allure of gambling, to say the least, seeing it just legal, I never place a bet, never feel the call to. I'm obviously involved with fantasy football, so yeah, just a little something to chat about and think about. But let me go ahead and make some fantastic picks for you for this week. Now, until we get that fantastic sponsor, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, who lets us know they'd like to support the Triple FL podcast, I won't tell you where the line is coming from, just the generally accepted line, and tell you which team to take. So let's get right into it. That game I was alluding to earlier, Buffalo-Miami, Buffalo favored by a point and a half. Listen, if you have to pick this game, you take Buffalo at home. Miami not as good on the road in September as they are at home. If you have to pick it, I'm not picking it. If you do not need this game, do not pick this game. Miami is a talented team. Tannehill is coming along. Mike Wallace, that defense, they've been paying their dues. They were, 8-8 last year. They've just been steadily progressing. And with a young quarterback like EJ Manuel, a talented defense can pull some tricks and make them look pretty pedestrian. And, Miami's just coming off that New England win. That's a big win. So I wouldn't pick this game. If you had to, you take Buffalo. You take Buffalo at home, giving a point and a half, but I'd prefer to stay away. Now, Jacksonville, Washington, 6 points. Washington favored by six. Did you hear what I just said a little earlier about RG3? This is the time, people, to make the picks the first 2 to 3 weeks of the NFL season because Vegas and these people are really not sure what these lines are supposed to be. Jacksonville played a very valiant game last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, of course, up by 17. They are upset, to say the least. It's not a long commute for Jacksonville to get up to Washington, getting 6 points. Take the Jaguars. Henny is there to prove himself, talented receivers, good defense. And RG3 is just, until they make that switch, you're going to hear this guy picking against the Washington team very often. Now, Dallas at Tennessee. My goodness, have we seen Roma look worse last week? I don't think we have. He looked pretty bad. So now what's he going to do? They're going on the road to Tennessee, a solid defense. They've got a lot of new additions there at Tennessee to that team. And they're at home, Dallas on the road. Spread 3.5, Tennessee favored. Now, everybody, they're America's team. You're talking to a guy growing up was a member of the Dallas Cowboys fan club. Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Ron Springs is fullback, Robert Newhouse is fullback, Everson Walls defense, Dennis Thurman, they were my team. Billy Joe Dupree, Raphael Septione. So to pick against them is something tough for me to do. But Tennessee at home, giving only 3.5. I want to root for Dallas. My heart says Dallas, but I look at the Tennessee team that just last week was able to beat Kansas City on the road coming home. That stadium in Nashville is going to be rocking. Take Tennessee, give the 3.5. Now, Arizona at the New York Giants. Point and a half. This is a game where Arizona's favored by two. Geez, to be favored on the road, it's really something. You've got to really not be so good, which the Giants at this point of the season are not. So giving 2 points, Arizona's giving two to the Giants. Take Arizona. The Giants do not have it worked out yet. They do not have their offensive down. Their defense is on the field much too long. It's not that they're bad, but you can only be on the field that long. And when you got a team like Arizona on the with those offensive weapons, Fitzgerald, Palmer, the list goes on, take Arizona, give the 2 points. New England at Minnesota. Of course, we've just heard the recent news. Peterson has been deactivated for that game. New England coming off the loss at Miami. Now they're going to be at Minnesota, not as hot and warm and uncomfortable as it was in Miami for them. And I don't see New England often losing two straight. Now, Castle is there. He's, of course, a former New England quarterback. He's there in Minnesota. And they did look good. You know, they did look good. They're only given 5.5. But I look at this game as a close one, a 2 to 3 to 4 point game. You've got New England getting, you've got Minnesota getting 5.5 at home. So for that reason, while I just see, take the points in this one. It's going to be a close one. The Vikings are not going to back down. This is not the New England of old people. This is not. So take Minnesota, take the 5.5. Now, New Orleans at Cleveland. I've got a few blue chip picks. Blue chip picks is what I'm going to call them, and this is one of them. The Saints are upset to have come up so short against the Falcons in that 37-34 point thriller. They are not going to allow Hoyer of Cleveland to beat them. It's just not in their DNA or in the makeup of Drew Brees and the boys to let that happen. Now, spread is big, but sorry, it's not big enough. It's as big as it can be given it's only week two and the team is coming off a loss, but only given 6 points. New Orleans will beat Cleveland by more than 6. It's going to be a touchdown or more game. They're ready to explode on the Cleveland Browns. So take New Orleans. Atlanta at Cincinnati. People, both these teams, I mean, we just spoke about Atlanta who pulled off 37-34 thriller against New Orleans at Cincinnati. Fantastic defense, Cincinnati. Those offensive weapons playing well. Cincinnati favored by 6, though. Favored by 6 at home against Atlanta. They've got it right here. Vegas does. This one is too close. You stay away. Atlanta at Cincinnati. To all my people, my boy Newberry, what up? From the Natty. Too respectable. Given 6, yes, but Atlanta's so potent. You just stay away. This is one you cannot bet on with certainty. So walk away, mate. Walk away. Now, Detroit at Carolina. Detroit, this is one of my blue chip picks. Detroit at Carolina, Cam Newton very well may be back, but that doesn't mean he'll be able to score as many points as Detroit. Look for the defensive line of Detroit to rough up Cam. Detroit takes this one easily by more than 3 points. They are getting 2.5, so they could even lose the game, Detroit. So take the Detroit Lions on the road. They know this is a new year. Very similar rosters last year, but a coach makes a big difference. Go back to the Green Bay Packers of Lombardi. The roster was very much the same prior to his arrival. Read the biography by David Moranis, When Pride Still Mattered. I don't read many books, but when I do, they're good. I will let you know. When Pride Still Mattered, it was very much the same roster. That is the case here with Detroit. Very much the same talent, although they are a bit older and more mature, and they've got a new coach with Zimmer. So take Detroit to beat Carolina. St. Louis Rams at Tampa Bay. This is a dog game. These are two teams that are not going to be good this year playing against each other. Tampa Bay's favored by 5.5. They're getting that mostly because they're at home. It's September. It's a bit warm. The Rams are an indoor team. They're not going to be used to the outside element. But people, these are two dogs. I would not even take a look here at this. Walk away from this game. It could go either way. There's going to be turnovers galore by the quarterbacks, and especially a game where the spread is within a touchdown. That could change in the last minute. You just don't know. Walk away. Now, Seattle and San Diego. I alluded to the hype that the San Diego Chargers are getting. I mean, this is just people loving Phillip Rivers and the Chargers and just wanting them to be good. They did just lose to Arizona. It was a close one, 18-17, but Arizona is not the defending world champions that some people are kind of building them up to be. A team that is the defending world champions are the Seattle Seahawks. So you got to take the Seahawks here. They're also bragging rights there on the West Coast that they're going for. Expect them to win by more than a touchdown. It's at San Diego, but Pete Carroll likes California, so he'll look forward to going back there. He will have that team ready. This is a team of destiny, the Seahawks. So give the points, give the 5.5 or 6, and take Seattle. Now, Houston at Oakland. Texans looking better. Oakland looking better. Both teams, 3-point spread. Stay away. You don't know what's going to happen here. Houston is good enough to be the favorite here and get the victory. You don't know what's going to happen. This is a game to stay away, walk away. Now, Jets at Green Bay. Green Bay is livid at the treatment that they've gotten against the Seattle Seahawks. The way they were treated, the loss, the way they were treated following the loss, how they were talked about, how they were scared to go at Sherman. This is a proud team. Rodgers is a proud player. The Jets are not a great team, and they're going on the road to Green Bay Sunday afternoon. That crowd at Lambeau will be off their chairs. This is a game they're trying to get it right with the spread 7.5. But I've got news for you. Green Bay will do more than that. I look for turnovers by the Jets. I look for a lot of stunts and interceptions. Green Bay is going to be potent on offense. Lacy, they're getting back from the concussion. This is a game to take Green Bay. Give the points. They'll win by 8 points or more. Take Green Bay. Kansas City at Denver. This is a big line. 11.5 is the spread most have. Look at it at home. Sunday evening it will be going into at Denver. Kansas City looked very pedestrian. As I said, the rest of the league has caught up with what Andy Reid and Alex Smith are trying to pull last year, or what they were successful pulling last year. They've got the game field from the Tennessee game. Denver does. Peyton Manning's excited. They may have Wes Welker. Whether or not they do, they've got plenty of tools. Take Denver. This is my another blue chipper of mine. Give the big spread. That's right. I told you, give the big spread. Take Denver and enjoy that game. The Bears at San Francisco. San Francisco still is an elite team. The Bears are not. The Bears are on the road. This is a at-home, at-night game for San Francisco. People, that means a lot. They're giving 7. Give the 7. Take the 49ers against the Bears. I look for Jay Cutler to be pressured out of his mind. Turnovers, interceptions, likely an injury. I mean, San Francisco is coming to bring the wood. They want to. They're playing for stature in the NFC. They're going against Seattle. It's like style points. They want to keep speed. They'd also like to not have to play in Seattle in the playoffs. They'd like to host. So this is a game that they're going to win against the Bears. The Bears aren't what they used to be. Cutler's going to be struggling. So give the 7 points. And, of course, already we can mention Pittsburgh at Baltimore. We saw what the Ravens did. This lets you know just what the Pittsburgh Steelers are this year. The spread was only 2.5. Baltimore made that spread look silly. As I said, these first 2 to 3 weeks are the time to take advantage of the lack of examples of the work of teams. They don't know. The spreads aren't what they should be. So, except in a few cases, you would have taken Baltimore, you would have done very well. Now, fantasy football, going to tell you a little bit about the Gators. What we've got going here, had Lacy last week, tough concussion, didn't go well, but I've got news for you. Pulled out a 32-28 victory, not what you're looking for in a fantasy football score. But looking for big things again, Russell Wilson, going with Reggie Bush at running back. Guy on my team, and some of you may have him, Steve Smith. He's got the senior on his back. Didn't come up for the touchdown in week 2, and of course he was on my bench in week 1, but still had 70-plus yards, did some good things. A nice player to have on your roster. I've also got Emmanuel Sanders. I've gone and tried to get a piece of the Peyton Manning Express, and he's looked very good. Didn't get in the end zone first week, hoping he gets there this week. Jason Witten is my tight end. Boy, did he struggle. And, you know, I remember in past years him struggling early on. Obviously, he's in his mid-30s or early 30s, so he needs a little time to get going. So I'm going to hold on to him as well as the Dan Bailey kicker for Dallas. And I dropped the Buccaneers defense, picked up the Eagles defense. They've got some opportunities to do some things, especially as quickly as their offense moves. They've got opportunities to do big things on the field. They were key in the comeback against Jacksonville. So big on that, and I've got Reggie Bush. Need him to come up big for me this week. I benched Eddie Lacy this week. I'm just not sure with the concussion. I've also benched Keenan Allen. Trying to play the matchups a bit. Keenan Allen going against those Arizona Cardinals. Didn't think he'd be that good. I've got a tough one, people. I've got a tough one. Probably the best Nick Foles at quarterback. Alfred Morris going against him, but probably the best receiving core for the Otisco Creamers. Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones. Also got Delanie Walker tight end. But my goodness, can you imagine if that was an actual team? Calvin Johnson and Julio Jones at the receivers. So I got my work cut out. I'm a big underdog. The predicted score for my game is 81-59, about a 22-point underdog. So we'll see what the Gators can do in being respectable there. All right, some quick notes for you guys. Follow us on Twitter, TheTripleFL. Hashtag TheTripleFL with any pictures, any posts about former players, former greats. I'm on there making the posts, comparing current players to the old players. Like us on Facebook. We're there, TripleFL. and check out the post. We're throwing in some pictures there. We're making commentary. You could do that. You can comment as well. The NFL is a great time. It's a great time to look at this year's crop of players and the games. Also, to take the time to remember the ones from back in the day. So many great players, and so excited to be hosting this podcast, the Triple FL, stand for Flashback Fantasy Football League, where we look at the past, we remember the past, and we look at the present and enjoy it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. It is in the books, the debut of the Triple FL podcast. Spread the word, follow on Twitter and Facebook, and we're going to get this to you weekly and have a good time doing it. Hope all the picks are good ones for you. Hope your fantasy team crushes, and we'll talk to you next week. This road has been easy, baby. Nothing gonna stand in my way. I'd like to say this all just happened. Just happened, baby. Overnight, that next day. But through auditions, material submissions, broken beds, open my eyes. Nah, just so you know. I'll do your own, leave mine alone, maybe you'll be happy then. I'll do you.